the things that I love and hold dear to my heart are just borrowed. They're not mine alone. Oh, Father, Jesus, only let me use them all to brighten my life. So remind me. So
some of y'all, but that song is real for me. And it doesn't even have to be real for you, because it's real for me. Because every now and then I need the Lord and I want him to remind me of where he's brought me from. And if I tell the truth about it, not only where I could have been, absolutely where I should have been, but if not for his grace and mercy to me and to every one of us sitting here,
We're not where we are because we've been so good. We're not where we are because we're so cute. We're not where we are because we're so smart. We're not where we are because of who our daddy was, what our last name is, how much money we have in the bank. We are where we are because God is good all the time. And in spite of ourselves, in spite of myself, he still chooses to look beyond all my faults and all my flaws. And not only give me what I need, a lot of times he gives me stuff I don't even ask for. Because he's a loving God like that. So I thank God on this morning that the Holy Spirit will remind me of just how good God is. Now, if there's anybody here on this fourth Sunday morning in December who is willing and not ashamed or embarrassed to just say, thank you, Lord, for his glory. Come on, give him 5-10 seconds of praise on this morning. Thank you, Lord. Glory to your name. Lord, I'm not just thanking you for the stuff that you protected me that I should have gotten into. I'm thanking you for the stuff you kept from me, Lord. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you now for this preaching opportunity. Lord God, just use me as you will, and that you be glorified. And I pray that every person here has some encounter with you this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Ushers, please be seated. Thank you all so much for your faithfulness, as always, being on the post. Giving honor to Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and God the Father, the Holy Trinity of Jehovah God, on this fourth Sunday in December. It's not the last Sunday. We got one more, but on this fourth Sunday, to my three sisters in Christ and to my absent brothers who are not here this morning, and certainly to the deacons, trustees, auxiliary leaders, to the members of Roanoke Salem, and to those of you who are visiting with us today, I thank you. And I thank God for you that you're here with us on this morning. We're going to go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verse 6. Very, very, very familiar passage of scripture to most of you all. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Some of you all can probably repeat it by heart. And that's a good thing if you can. If you can't, do like me, keep reading. Maybe it'll sink in sooner or later. I ain't got it quite yet, but I'm trying. Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 6. Let me set this up by saying that during this holiday season, and this is not a judgment against anybody, you know, you do as you will. A lot of times over the holiday season, Christmas in particular, preachers like to preach inspirational messages, and we talk about Jesus, and we like to, you know, the baby Jesus in the manger. Now, y'all have heard, Roanoke Salem has heard me say this before, and I thank God that Jesus came into the world the way he did, because the Lord specifically wanted him to come in as a human being and experience everything that we experience. But at some point in your Christian development, you got to get Jesus out the manger. Jesus didn't come here and stay a baby. Now, some folk are so happy this time of the year, and they're just as nice and sweet as they can possibly be because of the baby Jesus. But see, it's the grown Jesus that gives most of us problems. Because see, the baby Jesus, just like any other, you know, he was a human baby now. He was God, so he couldn't talk. But see, the grown Jesus started telling us about ourselves and what he said was right and wrong at an early age. And by the time he got to be a full-grown man, he was really into his own as who he came to be. So I thank God for the baby Jesus, but I don't like to keep Jesus in the manger. Jesus got up out. He grew up, and he walked away from that manger, and he walked into exactly what his Father had sent him here to do. Amen. Isaiah 9 and 6 says this. I'm going to read it from the King James, because that's the one that's most of us know. Isaiah says, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Church family, just for a few minutes, and when I say church family, I'm certainly including those who are visiting. Again, we're so grateful to the Lord for you being with us today. Just for a few minutes, please let us reason together from this thought. I know what child this is. I know what child this is. If I were to ask any of you all, have you ever heard the name William C. Dix, D-I-X? If I ask you, have you ever heard that name, William C. Dix, most folks probably don't know his name, and really there's no reason for you to have to know the man's name. But if I ask you, how many have heard the song, What Child Is This? Some of you will raise your hands because it's a very popular Christmas hymn. Well, William Dix, who lived from 1837 to 1898, he wrote that song. William Dix wrote the Christmas hymn, What Child Is This? And during his lifetime, that's what the man did. He wrote hymns and he wrote carols. This song, What Child Is This? Was published in 1871. Listen to the words of the first verse. What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet while shepherds are watch keeping, while shepherds watch are keeping. Now, you might think that Dix didn't know anything about Mary's little baby, but Dix knew who the child's real identity was, because in the chorus of his song, he says, this is Christ the King. When Dix asked that divinely inspired question, what child is this? It was a rhetorical question. He already knew the answer, because Dix always intended to give us the answer. This child was the son that Isaiah had prophesied would come into the world more than 2,000 years before Dix wrote that song. And as I think about what Christmas means to me, I thank God for William Dix. And I thank God for all the other folks who have written Christmas hymns and Christmas carols. And I love the contemporary Christmas songs. Yeah, I like Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You. Yeah, I like that song. I like Sounds of Blackness, Soul Holiday even more. But anyway, you like what you like. But even more than thanking God for those folks who write these Christmas hymns, these Christmas carols, these Christmas songs, I thank God for Isaiah and all the Bible prophets who told the world that this very special child was coming. And even if I have never heard Dix's beautiful Christmas hymn, I would still be able to say, I know what child this is. In chapter 9, verse 6, Isaiah gives us the information we need to identify the child in Dix's hymn. Go with me now back there if you still have your Bibles open. Isaiah 9 and 6. Isaiah says this child would be a son to his people. Well, the child's mother was a young virgin named Mary. Mary was a Hebrew person, but she practiced the Jewish religion. In other words, she was a Jew by her faith. Mary was married to a man named Joseph, but Joseph wasn't the child's father. Jehovah God was the father of this child. God the Father made a decision to send his son, this child, into the world for the sins of all of us. That's your Christmas gift right there. Let me just put a pin in that for reference. That's your Christmas gift right there. The fact that the Father sent Jesus into the world to die for our sins. If you don't ever get a never nothing no more in life, you've got the opportunity to have your soul saved and be in heaven for eternity. That's the greatest Christmas gift that anybody could ever receive. But anyway, but then God, the Holy Spirit, after the Father made the decision to send Jesus into the world, God, the Holy Spirit, without any physical contact, supernaturally blessed Mary's womb, and she became pregnant with this child. And I know that's right, because if you go to Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, you will see it there, how the Holy Spirit is the one who helped Mary conceive Jesus within her womb. If you look back at verse 6, then Isaiah says, first of all, he says he's this son. And then he says that the government shall be on the shoulders of this child. When Isaiah says government, he's not just talking about federal, state, and local institutions of elected officers and agencies. Here's what Isaiah is saying. He's saying this child is the foundation. This child is the cornerstone of the laws, listen now, that tell mankind what is spiritually and morally right and wrong. Jesus, he's the foundation. He's the cornerstone of the laws that tell us spiritually and morally what is right and wrong. And one day, this child will judge every person for what we did while we lived in this world. Amen. Your judgment day is coming. My judgment day is coming. There's no way around it. I know that's right because when God the Father created the Ten Commandments, this child was right there along with God the Holy Spirit. And when he grew into manhood, this child told the people that he came to fulfill the law. And the Bible says that when we die, we will have to give an account for our lives to this child. 2 Timothy chapter 4 says, this child, Jesus the Christ, will judge the living and the dead when he returns. You're going to stand in judgment, but it won't be before Judge Judy. You're going to stand in judgment, but it won't be before Judge Mathis. You're going to stand in judgment, and I'm going to stand in judgment, but it won't be before Judge Maybelline, as much as I love her. She's not the one that's going to judge me. This child, this Jesus the Christ, he's the one that's going to judge every one of us for our thoughts, our words, and our actions while we lived on this side of eternity. Let's keep moving. Verse 6, Isaiah gives us some more information. He says, this child will be called Wonderful. And there's a song that somebody wrote a long time ago that says just that. It says, Jesus, Jesus, oh, what a wonderful child. What makes this child wonderful? Well, ask the man who was born blind. He was born blind from birth so that God would get the glory. Ask him and he'll tell you Jesus was wonderful. Ask the man who lived in a graveyard and was tormented by demons day and night. Nobody could do anything with him. The man didn't want to be tormented by demons. The demons jumped on him. I don't know what was going on in his lifestyle, but the demons jumped on him. But when Jesus came around, he set him free. He'll tell you that he's wonderful. Ask the woman with the issue of blood for more than 12 years, and no doctors could heal her. And she had spent all her money trying to get healed. And there was something that man couldn't do, but she didn't even have to meet Jesus. All she did was walked up on him and touched his clothes. She'll tell you that this child, this Jesus is wonderful. Ask the 10 lepers who were hated by people for being sick and diseased. It wasn't their fault they were lepers. It wasn't their fault they were lepers and people hated them. Just like sometimes today, we look down our nose at certain folks in our society, depending on what's going on with them, and we say to ourselves, I'm glad it's them and it ain't me. Keep on with that attitude. It can beat you. It can beat you real quick, fast, and in a hurry, if the Lord says so. But you ask those 10 lepers if Jesus is not wonderful. Isaiah says, as we continue on, that this child will be called Counselor. A counselor is someone who gives advice. All counselors don't give good advice. I hope you know that, right? Everybody calls themselves a counselor. Some folk, you don't need counseling you because all counselors don't give good advice. Parents can be counselors. In fact, in most homes, a parent or a grandparent or an aunt or an uncle, somebody like that is probably the first counsel that some of us get. Friends can be counselors. Most schools have folks with degrees who are trained to be counselors. That's all good. But there are some types of problems that man can't solve because we don't have the right knowledge and the right information to give the right advice. Amen. But this child, Counselor Jesus, always has the right advice, no matter what the problem may be. I know that's right because Psalm 32, it was written about this child. It says, I will instruct you and I will teach you the way you should go, and I will guide you with my eye. This child always knows the right thing to tell us to do. Isaiah continues. He says, this child will be called the Mighty God. When I hear the word mighty, I think about strength. I think about power. When I hear the word mighty, I think about authority and superiority. The Bible tells us there was a man named Samson. Says he was the strongest man that has ever lived. In the world of Greek mythology, there's a character named Hercules. They said he had the strength of 100 of the strongest men. And in our present day, there are people who dedicate themselves to becoming as strong as humanly possible. Don't y'all know that there are men and women who can deadlift between 300 and 500 pounds right now? Amen. There are folk, that's all they do. Their whole life is dedicated to trying to make themselves as physically strong as possible. And even with all that, still nobody, real or make-believe, living or dead, male or female, has the power that this child has in just one finger. Just one finger. Matter of fact, he's so powerful, he doesn't have to lift the finger. He can just think it. He can just say it. And it will come to be. Matthew 28 and 18, he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. So that's why you can go ye therefore and make disciples. Because you're going in my power. My power is unlimited. My power has no end. My power is all over the world. And nobody can stand up against my power. Look back again with me at verse number 6. Isaiah says, this child will be called the everlasting father. Wait a minute, Isaiah. If this child is the son of God, how can he also be the father? He already told us he's the son. Now, how is he going to be the son and the father at the same time? See, but that's why this is no ordinary child. See, that's why he's not an ordinary child. Because he is of the father. And he is from the father. And he is the father all at the same time. Amen. St. John, if you go to the St. John and you look at chapter 1, look in chapter 14 and look in chapter 17, you'll find Jesus saying time and time and time again, I am in the Father and the Father is in me. My Father and I are one. This child is the everlasting Father. This child is the Holy Ghost. This child is the Lord and Savior of the world. He was there. Go to Genesis chapter 1. He was there. When the Bible says, God said, let us make man in our own image. This child was right there with the Father and the Holy Spirit. The last name Isaiah gives this child in verse number 6 says he's the Prince of Peace. Now, if you will take the time to read Matthew, Mark, or Luke, you will learn that this child came into a world that's full of turmoil. In fact, the king who had heard the prophecy of him coming had spies and soldiers out trying to find him because they wanted to kill him just as soon as he was born. But the Lord protected him from the king, and he came into the world over 2,000 years ago. And over 2,000 years ago, this world is still in great turmoil. There's still hatred in this world. There's still violence in this world. There's still selfishness, self-centeredness in this world. There's still jealousy in this world. There's still envy in this world. That's the world we live in. And when I feel that way, when I think about this world and the turmoil, I try to quickly remind myself that no matter what may be going on in this world or in my personal life, because I know what child this is, I can still have peace in my life. John 14, 27, this child says, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Yeah, it's crazy, but I'm the king of crazy. I got crazy under my thumb. They ain't seen crazy till they started to mess with one of my children and let me get to doing my stuff. I'm going to show them some crazy. Don't you know Jesus can make you forget who you are? Some of y'all don't believe that. I wish somebody in their head will say he can't do it to me and the Lord would do it just to prove my point. Oh, I got to be careful what I ask for. I done found out. I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. Lord, I didn't mean that. But don't you know Jesus can make you lose your mind? He doesn't have to put his hands on you. Some folk roll like they roll. Let me just be real and raw for a couple of minutes. Some folk roll like they roll because ain't nothing happened to them yet. Or let me put it this way. The right thing hadn't happened to them yet. See, you know, some things are happening. God is nudging you. God is tapping you on your shoulder. He's trying to get your attention. And you ain't listening. Because you haven't fallen out. Because you haven't had a stroke. Because you haven't had a heart attack. Because you don't have some disease. Because something bad hadn't happened to you. The way you think something bad will happen, you think it's all right for you to roll like you roll. That's a lie. No, that's a lie. You can't roll like you roll just because you want to. Jesus doesn't have to touch you to put you in place. He literally can make you lose your mind. He literally can do that if he wanted to. So that's why he says to those of us who are with him, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He said, because even though folks may be falling on your left side, folks may be falling on your right side, if you in my group, I'm going to take care of you. Some of y'all are a witness. Some of y'all right now are a witness when things have been happening all around you. And you know the only reason why it didn't happen to you too is because the Lord was on your side. He was with you and he was for you. That's the only difference between you and the rest. Me too. That's the only, because it ain't because we've been so good. We know that. Now, let me just make this personal. I know what child this is. I thank God for Jesus. Isaiah said he was a son to his people, but he's also a son to the entire world. I know that's right, because in Ephesians 3 and 6, the Apostle Paul said that God revealed a mystery to him. What was that mystery? That Jesus came to save the Gentiles as well as the Jews. Who's the Gentiles? You. Me. You a Gentile. Everybody in here, if you're not Jewish, you a Gentile. And Jesus came to save us too. So that's personal for me. He's my son too. Amen. I'm his brother in Christ. I got an opportunity to be part of the joint heir too. So I thank God for Jesus, and I know who this child is. That means that when we humble ourselves, confess our sins, Jesus will forgive us and save our souls, and we will go to heaven when we die. Hallelujah to his name. But look, we get the benefits before we go to heaven. Oh, we can have a good time, hallelujah, good time right here on earth right now too. Because he said, I came that they may have life and have it more abundantly. He wasn't talking about in the afterlife. He was talking about right here today. Glory to his name. I know what child this is. Because just like Isaiah said, he is wonderful because he's been wonderful to me. The fact that you are alive and here this morning is evidence that he's been wonderful to you too. He woke you this morning. He gave us a clear mind this morning. He gave us strength in our bodies this morning. He gave us a shelter to stay in. He gave us food and clothes and cars and enough money to do what we need to do. He's wonderful to us. Wait a minute. He gave us grace and mercy. I know he's wonderful. Because grace is him giving us stuff we don't deserve. And mercy is him not giving us the stuff that we should have got. And some of us, myself included, living on his grace and mercy. Living on his grace and mercy. He's held back from me some stuff that should have come my way. So, oh yeah, he's wonderful to me. He ain't got to be wonderful to you. I don't care. He's wonderful to me. Because I know how good, not that he has been. You know, there's a song we sing. We say, you've been so good. You are good. He's good right now. He's good in this very moment. Jesus is wonderful to me. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man or woman is in Christ, they are a new creature. And all the old things have passed away. That's wonderful. See, folk look at you and they only see you for who you were. Christ looks at you and sees you for who you are in him. And guess what? And I hate to use that phrase, guess what? But it works here. Guess what? As long as Christ says you all right, you all right. I don't care who's talking about you. I don't care who don't like you. Let them not like you. Let them talk about you. Let them say what they want to. Let them do whatever they want to. As long as God sees you as his son or daughter and he's on your side, you're going to be all right. Matter of fact, you're going to get the victory. I know what child this is. Jesus has been a counselor to me. When I'm not sure what to do, I just have a little talk with Jesus. And I tell him all about my troubles. And he's always has the right answer. And he's always right on time. That's why Proverbs 3:5-6, y'all know what it is. Trust in the Lord with all my heart. And I'm not going to lean into my own understanding. In all my ways, I'm going to give it and acknowledge Jesus. And Jesus will direct my path. I know what child this is. Jesus is the mighty God. 1 Samuel 2:19 says he will guard the feet of his saints. Who are his saints? You and me. When we give our lives to Jesus, we are the righteousness of God. We are the saints of God. Well, Reverend, I don't feel saintly. I don't care. Reverend, I don't feel holy. I don't care. Reverend, I took a drink last night. I don't care. Reverend, I took a smoke last night. I don't care. Reverend, I was with somebody I shouldn't have been with last night. I don't care. Reverend, I was watching something on TV I shouldn't have been watching. I went to a movie. I was on my computer. I don't care. He said that you are covered with his righteousness on his shed blood. And seeing what happened is the Holy Spirit will convict you. And you won't keep doing what you do. You know how, I'm going to be raw and real again for a minute. Talk is cheap. You know how you know when the Lord has come into your life? Because there's stuff you will want to stop doing. Don't nobody have to preach to you. You ain't got to get watch nobody on TV. Ain't nobody got to send you no tapes, no ministry tapes, none of that. You will want to change yourself when you've really been touched with by the Lord. You will want to do right. And that doesn't mean you'll be perfect. None of us are. But it does mean you'll want to do right more than you want to do wrong. And when you feel yourself easy to do wrong, you will tell yourself, don't do that. I don't want to go back to that. God is too good. So I know that he is the mighty God. It says he will guard the feet of his saints, but the wicked shall be silent in darkness. He says, for by strength, no man shall prevail. That means that nobody can do anything to you if the Lord don't allow it. I don't care who comes against you. If God is for you, who can be against you? Y'all have heard me say it before. If God is for you, it don't matter who's against you. Donald Trump can be against you. Barack Obama can be against you. That crazy man over there in Saudi Arabia, wherever he is, Kim Jong-un can be against you. If Jehovah God is for you, it does not matter who's against you. Amen. I know what child this is. Jesus is the everlasting Father. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was what? The Word. And the Word was with God. Here it is. And the Word was God. He is the mighty God. Amen. Jesus has always been there. He's always been there for me. And he's always been there for anybody who will trust and obey him. Jesus has no beginning. And Jesus has no end. He is with me right now. And he will be with me now and on the other side of eternity. And here's what I love about my Jesus. He's no respecter of persons. See, you might not let me into your club. You might not let me into your whatever it may be. That's all right. Jesus is with me and Jesus is for me. And Jesus says, I'll let you in with me. And as long as I'm in with Jesus, it's all right. Yeah, he says that we can have the abundant life on this side of eternity right now, because he'll open doors that no man can close. And he'll close doors that no man can open. He'll do it for you. I know what child this is. I'm a living witness that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. I have problems in my life. You have problems in your life. There are problems in our world. But if we humble ourselves and ask Jesus to help us, he'll give us the kind of peace that's beyond our understanding. The peace of Jesus is so good. So good. Jesus' peace won't even make sense to you. You ask yourself, why did I not lose my mind? Why I'm not crying? Why am I not depressed? Why am I not feeling ashamed or embarrassed when, by the world standards, I should feel ashamed and I should feel embarrassed? No, that it's not. You're not feeling ashamed and embarrassed out of arrogance. No, it ain't that. You're not feeling ashamed or embarrassed because God is giving you a peace that says, I've forgiven you and I've covered you, and you just keep walking with me, watch and see when I make it right. Don't you know God can take your mess and turn it into a miracle? Amen. God can take the mess that I made, the mess that you made. Look, we ain't talking about what happened to us. I'm talking about what we did. He can take that and turn it into a miracle if we'll humble ourselves and do our best to trust him and obey him. And he'll give us strength. He'll help us along the way. I know what child this is. He is the Prince of Peace. There is peace in Jesus, and it's good, and it doesn't make sense. Psalm 4 and 8 says, I will both lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Jesus, the Son, Jesus, the government is on his shoulder. Jesus, wonderful. Jesus, counselor. Jesus, the mighty God. Jesus, the everlasting Father. Jesus, the Prince of Peace. But most of all, if you want something to be happy about on this fourth Sunday in December leading into Christmas, Jesus, the King of Kings. Jesus, the Lord of Lords. Jesus, the Lion of Judah. Jesus, the Lamb of God. Jesus, the Rose of Sharon. Jesus, my way maker. Jesus, my heart regulator. Jesus, my mind regulator. Jesus, my Lord. Jesus, my Savior. Jesus, the one who did for me what you couldn't do for me. Jesus, the one who did for me what some of y'all wouldn't do for me. I guarantee you, if we go out here right now and somebody comes up with a gun and says, I'm going to have to take one of y'all and y'all got to decide, how many folk going to say, I'm a step forward? You live on, Evelyn. Let them take me. But that's what he did. That's what he did. And he did it for every one of you. Even if you haven't received his blessing of salvation, you got something in layaway that all you got to do is go pick up. People going over to Walmart and Target and Macy's and all these places talking about, I got stuff on layaway. You got something that's been on layaway for over 2,000 years. All you got to do is just claim it, because it's always been there for you. And it's still there for you. What is it? The salvation of your soul. And Jesus did it. Jesus did it on a Friday when he went up on Calvary's cross. Jesus did it when he let him pierce him in his side. Jesus did it when he let him put him in a borrowed tomb. Jesus did it when he stayed there all the rest of Friday. The Bible says he went down into hell, took the keys from the devil. Pastor said whipped him on his own territory. Then he came back and put his spirit back in that body in that tomb. Stayed there all Saturday. Jesus did it when he stayed there all Saturday night. But the Bible says early on that Sunday morning, the best thing that Jesus did is when he got up. Jesus got up with all power. All power. in his hand the power to save my soul. The power to give me clarity when I'm confused. The power to calm my nerves when I'm scared. The power to give me peace when I should be all torn up. The power to make me be able to smile in folks' faces who talking about me like I ain't nothing but a dog. The power to pray for those who will spitefully use you and abuse you. That's the kind of power. The power to make you go to your bank account and you got $50 in there right now and the bill is $75. And you go back 2 days later and there's $175. And you ain't put nothing in there. You ain't put nothing in there. You call the bank. Wait a minute. There was $50 in my account Monday. It's Wednesday. There's $175. Oh, I'm sorry, Sister Stevenson. We forgot to tell you. We overdrafted your account 2 weeks ago, and we just put that money back. We didn't call you and tell you. That ain't nothing but the Lord. He will make a way out of no way. Yeah. Yeah. Folk have testimonies. I went to the doctor. Doctor said something was wrong. I came back 2 months later. Doctor said they couldn't find it. They don't know where it went. It just ain't there no more. Amen. Some folk have testimony. Even if it's still there, I still got peace. I still have joy. Because the world can't steal my joy. Sickness can't steal my joy. Depression can't steal my joy. Because I know that as long as I'm walking with Jesus, whether it be on this side or on the other side, I'm going to be healed. I'm going to have peace. And God is going to make it all right. If you love Jesus this morning. Now, let me, and I'm being for real now. Don't do this if you don't really love Jesus. But if you love Jesus, just give him a hand clap of praise. Just give him a hand clap of praise. Just say to him, thank you, Jesus. Glory, hallelujah to your name. Thank you, Lord, for being this child. This wonderful child. He's this child. And I know who he is. And I pray that most of you know who he is today too. But just in case you don't, this is the time for you to come and meet him and get to know him for yourself. Listen, some preachers and some Christians, not just preachers, believe in trying to beat folk into submission. I ain't trying to beat you no kind of way. Because I'm not saying that facetiously. I'm being for real. I've read the Bible. I know what it says. God gave us all free will. You can accept him or reject him. That's up to you. But everybody that come to church ain't saved. And everybody claim Jesus ain't really rolling with Jesus. But the folks who will say, Lord, I know I'm not who I'm supposed to be. I've been living wrong. Lord, please forgive me. You don't see anywhere in that Bible where it says that then the Lord's going to take you through a period of cleansing and condemnation. That ain't what the Bible says. The Bible says the moment you confess your sins, the Bible says that when you acknowledge him with your mouth and believe in your heart that he was raised from the dead, the Bible says right then you are saved. Your sins are forgiven. He's tossed your sins in the sea of forgetfulness. Like they never happened. Oh, I might remember what you used to do, but I ain't nobody. Don't worry about me. Don't worry about me. I ain't nobody. I don't have a heaven or a hell to put you in. You roll with Jesus. Come on this morning now, this fourth Sunday in December. Thank you, deacons. If there's somebody who has never asked Jesus Christ to